is Patrick Wannis, celebrity life coach, human behavior and relationship expert, and clinical hypnotherapist, PhD. Long before I ever started to study or take any interest in human behavior in an official sense, I already noticed that many of the relationships that we have as children are later duplicated as adults. In other words, at a very young age, I came to the conclusion that our relationship with our parents will determine the kind of relationships we have as adults. Your relationship with your father will determine your relationship with men, and your relationship with your mother will determine the relationships that you have with women as adults. Recently, I issued a newsletter talking about the impact that fathers have on their daughter. And the impact can be mental, emotional, physical, and sexual. Dr. Linda Nielsen is Professor of the Women's Studies and Education President with the American Coalition for Fathers and Children at the Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. She's also the author of a book, Between Fathers and Daughters. And for almost 20 years now, she's been teaching a very powerful course of fathers and daughters. So, Professor Nielsen, I'd like to first congratulate you on the wonderful work you've done. And I had a question for you, because I know that I believe that everything that we teach is what we need to learn. So I'm curious, what got you motivated and inspired to create a course on fathers and daughters and then to write books about it?
Well, when I was 40 years old, I was an adolescent psychologist, so I had always been interested in family dynamics. But when I was 40 and my own father died, I got particularly interested in father-daughter relationships because I realized that even though he and I loved each other and had a loving relationship, that I did not know my father very well. And so after he died, I was very aware that I did not know him nearly as well as I knew my mother. I also was aware at that time of my life, being 40 years old, I had gone through a divorce and a series of other dating relationships in which I realized there were certain patterns in the ways that I related to men that were not healthy for me. And so I started to look at the research, even though there was not much of it, on how the father influences his daughter's relationships with men throughout the rest of her life. And that's how I got interested in the topic and started to write about it, because there was so little work done. And for the last 20 years, I've been writing about adult daughters' relationships with their fathers.
Well, as I said at the outset, that I believe, or I made the conclusion, that our relationship with our parents will determine our relationships with adults when we become adults. What was the repetition or the pattern in the relationships you were having with men that was a reflection of your relationship with your father when you were a child?
Well, when I grew up, which was the 1950s, that was the era where children in general were taught, you know, to be respectful towards your parents, which meant you didn't talk back to your parents, you didn't argue with your parents, you didn't stand up to your parents and speak up for yourself in a way that we would now call assertive. In those days, it was called rude and disrespectful. So what I saw that in my pattern with relationships with men as an adult woman is that I was very uncomfortable expressing anger because my father had not let me express anger. I was very uncomfortable dealing with any kind of arguments with men, not just in romantic relationships, but men at work.
Well, how did you deal with it? What would you do?
I would either get very quiet and not speak my mind. A lot of what I see in women and in myself is a lot of self-sacrificing, thinking that I shouldn't speak up or disagree because that would be seen as unfeminine or uppity or bitchy, you know.
All right, so let me ask you two questions. First, your reaction or your response was to go quiet or to walk away and avoid conflict?
Yeah, just go quiet, avoid conflict, keep it all inside and let it bubble up where it gives you that terrible pain in the neck or tension.
Okay, that was the second point, what you felt. What you felt was obviously physical pain in the neck. What else did you feel when you held back from expressing yourself?
I think when we as women or men hold in strong emotions, then they come out in some form physically in the body in terms of stress. For me, it happens to be literally a pain that I get on the left side of my neck. For other women, I know it can be stomach aches or headaches or something in the body is going to tell you that holding in this anger or holding in what I really want to say isn't good for me. It's creating stress.
Right, and it might not be anger. It might simply be about you expressing yourself, correct?
Exactly. If my father had taught me or allowed me that it was okay to disagree with him and hold my ground and that that was not being rude or aggressive, that was simply learning to express who I was. And, you know, I'm not saying that you cannot change that pattern, because once I recognized the pattern in myself, I certainly did change it. And with all the hundreds and hundreds of adult women I have worked with in the last 20 years, once you recognize what the pattern is that you learned from your father, then you have the power to change it.
When you were a child, did you respond the same way in the sense of being quiet and walking away and avoiding conflict?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Which is, of course, what my mother did in that family, because, again, in the traditional family of the 50s, the wife listened to the husband and didn't speak up or speak back a lot, at least not in the conventional family where the dad earned all the money and the mom was the homemaker.
Okay, so we know how that directly and obviously affected your relationships, but how did it affect the connection and the fulfillment of the relationships you had?
I didn't have trouble the way that a lot of women who have very serious problems with their fathers. I had no difficulty trusting men or feeling very self-confident with men. And what we typically see with women who have distant relationships with their fathers, or fathers who were overly critical, or fathers who were very, very difficult to be with, which fortunately was not the case for me. My issue with my father was his not letting me express anger and argue effectively with it.
But again, you're supporting what I've been saying from the outset, that your
right.
childhood relationship with your father was reflected in your adult relationships with men. You had a good relationship, you just didn't have a complete relationship where you felt free to express yourself.
Exactly.
Now, what you're also telling me, and I know you're going to elaborate on this, is that in your book and in your work, of course, it's much more extreme with other women and what they experience. So let's talk about that. How does the father impact the daughter?
The most common impact that I see in terms of a negative impact is that most fathers have a fairly distant relationship with their daughters, where they do not give her enough attention, enough affirmation. And the other thing is the father who is too critical of his daughter. And in both of those situations, those daughters, when they grow up, are going to go into relationships with men needing the kind of approval that they didn't get from their fathers. And that is a killer for a relationship. Because
well, it's funny because I guess it's ironic, because that's exactly what I was writing in my newsletter, that if, and I actually used a case study there of a girl who was raised with a very highly critical, judgmental, and even abusive father, and then she finds herself in those identical relationships as an adult because she's seeking to heal that within her. So she's trying to find a way to heal that, and yet, at a subconscious level, she doesn't believe that she deserves to be treated well, and she believes that she deserves to be criticized, because that's what she was taught. So she keeps repeating this pattern that ends up in a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I also wanted to talk to you briefly to get your insight into a study that was conducted in New Zealand and the U.S. back in 2003, and it elaborated and explained to what extent the relationship that a father has with his daughter will affect her on the levels of physical, mental, emotional, and sexual. So Bruce J. Ellis from the University of Arizona led the study, and the researchers began by listing various negative outcomes that adolescent girls experienced when they have early sexual experiences. And they said, and I quote, specifically, adolescent childbearing is associated with lower educational and occupational attainment, more mental and physical health problems, inadequate social support networks for parenting, and increased risk of abuse and neglect for the children born to teen mothers. Despite these consequences, the United States and New Zealand have the first and second highest rates of teenage pregnancy among Western industrialized countries. Given these costs to adolescents and their children, it is critical to identify life experiences and pathways that place girls at risk or increased risk for early sexual activity in adolescent pregnancy. So So the study followed about 820 subjects for their entire child kindergarten to about age 18. And here is the conclusion. Father absence was an overriding risk factor for early sexual activity in adolescent pregnancy. Conversely, father presence was a major protective factor against early sexual outcomes, even if other factors were present. So let's talk about this point. When a father's not there, when he's absent.
Well, first let's point out that 60% of the women, of the girls, of the daughters growing up in the United States right now, 60% of them will not spend their childhood living in the same home with their father. That's astounding. That means 60% of the daughters have absent fathers for at least the majority of their childhood years. So this is an astounding figure. And what it shows, and as the research you pointed out shows, girls who have absent not only have sex earlier, but they have sex with more partners, they have more risky and dangerous sex, meaning unprotected sex, therefore they have higher rates of sexually transmitted diseases, they have higher rates of HIV, they have higher rates of teenage pregnancy, obviously, and then that then spills over into dropping out of high school, not finishing college, which then into her adult years means she isn't economically, financially, as able to take care of herself as the woman who didn't have the absent father. In other words, the woman who's had that father with her for those first 18 years is going to be better off in terms of her academic achievements, her finances, and what her sexual behavior and consequences of that behavior are as a teenager. So the father is a magic bullet.
Now, I also understand from another study that there was some findings that girls could even menstruate earlier if their father wasn't around. Is that right?
That may be related to the fact that many of those girls whose fathers are not around are African-American girls, and they tend to start having their periods earlier anyway. So that is a little bit more difficult to translate that.
But what we can conclude is that the absence of a father will affect the girl physically, sexually, mentally, and emotionally. And
yes.
I'd like to use an example of someone that I was working with in New York. She is a relationship host or relationship expert. And when we were talking, she said to me that she has a problem trusting men, that she often feels that they're going to cheat on her. And my first question to her, my initial response was to say, oh, so your father was never around when you were a child, correct? And she became quite defensive and said, no, that's not true. And I said, really? And I proceeded to ask her questions, and I said, well, what job did he do? Well, he was in the military. Okay, so how often did he travel? Well, he was gone 2 weeks out of every month. I said to her, as a child, that equals absence. That means for 2 weeks, you were coming home and Dad wasn't there. As a result, she felt abandoned. She felt that she couldn't trust men. And that's the concept of being cheated. It's also about feeling betrayed. My dad's not there. He should be there. He should be there for me. He should be spending time with me, etc. Now, in today's society, and I know we'll talk a bit more about this, I'm guessing that this whole issue is further complicated by the fact that both parents are working, and often, or when the father comes home from work, the child is already in bed and maybe asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so father absence takes many forms. It's not just about the dad not being part of the marriage or not living with a child or having a job of traveling. It can also be that the father's working such long hours that he's simply not there when the daughter's, you know, when the daughter comes home from school. So she comes home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and she goes to bed at 8 o'clock and he doesn't come home till after that. That to her, dad's not around.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he comes home, she's already asleep. So she's not getting that time with her father. So how has it changed in today's society versus 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago?
Well, we do know that nowadays fathers in general are spending more time with their children than they did 20 years ago.
Really?
And this is in large part because the mothers are helping to take some of the burden off the fathers by working themselves so that the it is a dual career. Both people are working. 80% of all mothers work outside the home.
But doesn't that contradict the earlier statistic you gave me where you said 60% of girls are going to grow up without a father?
Well, that means that living in the home, because of the divorce rates and out-of-wedlock births, between the ages of 1 and 18, only 40% of all girls will get to grow up for those 18 years living in the same home with their father.
Are African-American girls affected more so than white girls?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The out-of-wedlock pregnancy rates or birth rates for African-Americans, 70% of African-American children are born out of wedlock. That in itself is not what I'm focused on, but the consequence of that is it is almost impossible then for that 70% of children to maintain a close relationship with their fathers for the first 18 years of their lives because their parents aren't living together.
We mentioned a moment ago also that the father has a huge impact on the girl's sexuality, and I noticed that the CDC recently put out statistics saying that 25% of teenagers have an STD, a sexually transmitted disease. Is that a result of father absence or a lack of fathering?
When I say father absence in this context, I mean even if the father is living in the home, as you just pointed out, he can be emotionally absent for his daughter.
Okay.
Because of his work hours and because when he is there, he's spending more time with his son than with his daughter.
Let's be clear about this. He can be obviously geographically absent, physically absent, that he's not in the home or he's not spending time. He can be there but not communicating, so therefore he's emotionally absent. Maybe he doesn't communicate his emotions or he doesn't allow you to express yourself. He can be mentally absent in the sense that you have conversations, but they're very two-dimensional. They're very simply an exchange of, well, where's this, where's that, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And then he can also be physically and intimately absent in the sense that he doesn't show love and affection. He doesn't show skin love.
Exactly.
How does that absence affect the girls having sexually transmitted diseases?
Girls who do not have a close relationship with their father tend to seek out male attention more than girls who have a close relationship with their father. So you've got a 13-year-old girl, she doesn't have a close relationship with her father, where is she going to turn for that attention? Well, to the teenage boys. And one of the ways that teenage girls can get a lot of male attention is through sex. Therefore, she becomes much more sexually promiscuous and at an earlier age because she's seeking male attention and male approval, which she isn't getting enough of. She has that father hunger. She's not getting enough of that from her father. So she seeks it through sex with the boys in her life. And then the cycle starts forming, whereas a 25-year-old woman, she is still tending to be more sexually promiscuous, trying to find love through sex rather than finding love through the non-sexual aspects of a relationship, which a daughter who feels loved by her father doesn't feel that desperation to have this male approval or to always have to have a man in her life. You know, a woman can be happy for months or years at a time without being in a sexual or romantic relationship if the other aspects of her life are fulfilling.
The other point that I want to make very clear is that as a clinical hypnotherapist, none of this activity ever fulfills the emptiness that she feels within herself as a result of either a non-existent or a poor or an unhealthy relationship with her father. So she continues seeking to heal that, and it can't be done with anything outside of you. And later in the call, I'd like to talk with you and ask to draw upon your expertise and insights for strategies for adult women, or even for teenagers and adult women, in how to actually rebuild their relationship with their father. Well, having said that, I know that my work with clients one-on-one is to help them to go back to their childhood and to realize that whatever dad did or didn't do had nothing to do with the girl. It wasn't her fault. There's nothing wrong with her. She's not to blame. There's nothing to be ashamed of. And to stop the loop or the cycle within her mind that says it's still happening. Dad wasn't there for me, therefore I'm not good enough. And that, you know, that obviously then affects the girl's self-esteem, her self-confidence, her self-image, her self-concept, her sense of self-worth, and it can even affect her body shape, because if she doesn't like herself, then she won't take care of her body or her health. Is it true that HIV is becoming a really big disease and problem within teenagers?
Yes. The fastest growing segment of the population where HIV is growing the fastest is teenage girls. And the explanation for that is because, again, with more and more teenage girls not having an active father in their lives, they are having sex more often. They're having sex with people that they don't know very well, and many of those men that they're having sex with have either been involved with drugs, which of course is access to HIV infections through needles. Also, the largest group at risk is African American girls. They tend to have sex with men who are 3 to 10 years older than they are. Many of these men are bisexual, which the girls do not know. Have no idea of this, and in the black community, it's particularly difficult for a man to come out and admit his bisexuality or his homosexuality. Therefore, these young girls don't realize they are exposing themselves to HIV because the man or boy that they're in bed with has had bisexual experiences. The other part of this for African American women is the high rate of imprisonment for black men, which means the odds are very high for a black woman that she will be having sex with a man who's been in prison. And again, the risk of contracting HIV through prison experiences, sexual experiences, put African-American women at much higher risk.
Now, in fact, you're releasing a book about this soon, correct?
Yeah, in August, the book is Between Fathers and Daughters, and it talks about the impact that your father has on your life and how you can enrich or rebuild that relationship as an adult.
I'd like to spend a moment talking about how we can help women at any age to rebuild their relationship with their father, because this is one of the key points in your book, Embracing Your Father, how to build the relationship you've always wanted with your dad. So talk to me a little bit about some of the everyday strategies and techniques that women can adopt.
I give women 3 pieces of advice that you can start to apply today. The first is, when you have contact with your father, now that may be that physically you get to see him, or if you don't live near him, it may be that your contact is by emails or by telephone. My first piece of advice is, just have that contact one-on-one with your father. Don't have your mother or any other siblings or your stepmother. Don't have any of these other people around or involved in your conversations. You need one-on-one time with each other. That will do more to improve your relationship because you will get to know each other as human beings without other people there to interfere and interpret and interrupt. So the most important gift you can give yourself is spend time alone with your father.
Let me interrupt you for a moment, because we've always been taught that the mother should get close to the daughter and the father should get close to the son. So what we're saying here today is that the daughter still, even at an age of adolescence and in her later teen years, still needs to have a close relationship with her father.
Absolutely. Closer. Actually, during her teenage years, where we tell fathers, we give them a script and we say, you're supposed to back away from your daughter when she becomes a teenager and let the mother take over. That's the worst advice we can possibly give to fathers. The father should stay just as involved with his daughter as he was when she was a younger girl, and he should spend time alone with her during her teenage and adult.
Why is the alone time so important?
Well, any of us, if you think about when you're with one person one-on-one, whether it's your father or a friend or a lover, those conversations are much more intimate and truthful and honest and comfortable when you don't have somebody else there as your audience.
Okay, now hold on. I'd like to interrupt and say there's a greater chance that it's going to become a more intimate conversation. So how does the girl take the father beyond the obvious uncomfortable conversation and can talk about anything?
Well, one of the things I do in the book to make this easier for daughters and for fathers, because the fathers need help too, like when you have this time alone, gee, what do we do with it? What are we going to talk about, you know? And I provide hundreds and hundreds of questions that you can start to ask one another rather than how was your day, how is work, you know, tell me about something you've seen on TV. Much more meaningful questions, because the kind of question you ask determines the level of intimacy, emotional intimacy that you can have.
Right, and obviously in both situations, the girl wants to become vulnerable to her father, and dad wants to, at some deeper level, express his vulnerability. The challenge we have is that for most men, they feel that there are certain topics that are off limits. We cannot talk, for example, about a girl's period. Can a girl talk to her father about her period?
Oh, I think she could, but it's such a minor part of what's important in a woman's life or a daughter's life. I would much rather see daughters of any age talking to their fathers about dating and relationships. How do you know what love is? How do you know when a relationship is bad for you? How do you get out of a bad relationship? To get their dads talking about relationships from a man's point of view. Those are the kind of conversations that are going to shape a daughter's life.
Because at a teenage level, girls are often seeking not just validation and recognition, but they're trying to make a deeper connection with a man, and so they do that at a sexual level. Whereas if the father explains to the daughter, listen, please understand that for teenage boys, they are primarily interested in the adventure, the risk, the conquest, more than they are in the deep emotional bond and connection with the girl. So for the boy, sex at a teenage age is not about expressing love. It's really about conquering the girl and about exploring and about a sense of adventure and risk and excitement. And I think if the father explains it to the girl, it gives her a different perception, so she has a different understanding. So then she has better capabilities to make a decision and say no if she really wants to say no.
And I want to carry that into the adult years, because if you're a 25-year-old daughter or a 35-year-old daughter or a 45-year-old daughter, your father can be a wonderful ally to you to talk about the relationship problems that you're having with the men in your life. Your father is a man. He's had experiences and learned lessons that he would like to share with you.
Now, what about if the girl doesn't respect her father? You know, her father hasn't been a good father. He's been absent for quite a few years. Maybe he was absent from age 8 to 13, and now he's stepping back into her life. Her instant reaction and response is going to be, hey, you weren't there when I needed you. You weren't there. You're not my father. I don't want you around. Now, of course, that's not the truth. She does, at a subconscious level, want to, but she's putting up a wall because she doesn't trust. How does she break past that?
Well, I have a whole chapter in the book that talks about reconciling, and that's a chapter that's for daughters whose fathers have not been very much in their lives while they're growing up. And what I say in the chapter about reconciling is, of course your father's not going to step back into your life and you're going to pick up as if he had never left. He has been gone. But rebuilding means you're able to take what your father has to offer you now. It may not be the perfect fairy tale relationship you dreamed of, but I figure it's better to get something for the rest of your life from your father than to get nothing. Maybe you won't get the relationship that you always dreamed of. But again, if the father is making an offer to have some kind of relationship with you, why turn that down and spend the remainder of your life with no relationship with your father?
Of course. And Dr. Nielsen, one of my key messages and key platforms is forgiveness, because I teach that forgiveness will set you free and will set the other person free. And to get to the place of forgiveness, you have to begin with understanding, trying to understand the other person, because when you truly understand the other person, you will understand and realize that it was never about you. So what can a girl do to better understand her father and better get to know him better than before?
Well, again, I think it depends on the questions you're asking. In other words, I have the young women that I work with, I have them literally do interviews with their father, and I give them the questions. Here's a question. Dad, what were the most pleasurable and the most awful experiences in your childhood? Dad.
Wow, that's a tough question.
See?
That's a powerful
question. Or Dad, tell me about three of the biggest mistakes you think you had made when you were my age. Or what are three things you think you've learned that you wish you had known when you were my age? Those are very, very powerful questions, and most fathers, by the way, would love to have the opportunity to talk about those things.
The more interest that she shows in him, the more interest he's going to want to show in her.
Absolutely.
Because we're talking now about acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Your father is not perfect. He's just a man. He's just a human being.
Who makes mistakes. And will make
mistakes.
Like the rest of us. Now, yes. I mentioned there the word acceptance because I know this is also one of your teachings. Stop trying to seek his approval. Seek his acceptance.
Mm-hmm. I think we, as little girls, you know, we want Daddy to say that everything we do, oh, that's great, oh, that's wonderful, oh, that's great, oh, that's wonderful. But as we get older, you are not the clone or the replica of your father. You are going to have different attitudes. There are going to be things that he doesn't value or doesn't think are right, but you do value, all right? You're not going to see eye to eye on those things. You're not going to change him. He's not going to change you. So what acceptance means is I'm not going to try to get my father to approve of all the decisions I make or approve of every decision I'm about to make in my personal life. I simply want him to accept that we're different, but we can have our father-daughter relationship without our having to agree on 100% of everything. You don't need agreement to love and accept someone.
And you know, this is a very powerful point because I teach that one of the things that holds us back the most in life and destroys our sense of self-worth, our self-esteem and self-confidence is our constant desire to seek other people's approval. Because
exactly.
Linda, at a very deep subconscious level as children, we are and we were seeking our parents' approval. We wanted them to validate us, to recognize us, to accept us, to love us, to support us, to praise us, to encourage us, to listen to us, to show interest in us, to do things with us. And it's very hard for any parent to live up to all of those expectations that we have. But as adults, if we can start to begin to consciously and obviously subconsciously lower those expectations and move towards acceptance of them, of our parents, not only do we in turn accept ourselves, but we stop seeking their approval. And when we stop seeking other people's approval, that's a sign that we're approving of ourselves.
Exactly. And let's just make one specific point. For example, a 25-year-old woman, she decides she wants to live with her boyfriend, okay? Her father is 55. He doesn't approve of that. That is something that is... He just doesn't approve of it. Maybe
it might be generational or, yeah.
Generational, whatever. Okay. The daughter keeps wanting the father to say it's okay that he's going to accept this. That's not going to happen.
So what should she do?
What she should do is live her life the way she wants to live it. That is for her to decide what is good in her life. She should not, as the age of 25, be seeking her father's approval for how she's going to run her personal life, how she's going to vote in the next election. You know, those are grown-up issues that we must approve of ourselves for the decisions we make. And at the point we are grown-ups, we should not be turning to our fathers to say, Daddy, Daddy, approve of me. No. It's up to you as a grown-up woman to approve of yourself.
Correct. And it's interesting that you raise this point because of a child or a woman living for herself and living her own life. Because I was working with a client today who's 23, lives at home with her mother, and in our initial discussion, I helped her to uncover that she feels guilty that her mother's unhappy and alone. She doesn't want to leave home because she doesn't want her mother to be alone. And she wants to make her mother happy. So therefore she, the 23-year-old woman, is not living her own life. She's living it for her mother to make up for her father's absence.
Mm-hmm.
So a father's absence impacts a daughter on many levels to the extent, as in this case, that the daughter is feeling guilty about the mother's unhappiness, which
exactly.
has nothing to do with the daughter.
Exactly. And a strong father-daughter bond, which I did have a strong bond with my father in terms of he did love and approve of me, and I knew that as a child. I never felt unloved.
Well, you sound very grounded, incidentally.
Yeah. Therefore, as a woman, when my father and I started to disagree on things, even though I didn't like having to argue and I had a hard time expressing myself, there was never any doubt that I was going to live my life the way I wanted to live it. Because, in fact, that is what my father raised me to be, was self-reliant and someone I loved myself. I loved myself.
Your only challenge was getting to the place of safely and freely expressing yourself.
Expressing anger and disagreeing. And as I say, I think that was largely a generational thing, because in my father's generation, for sons or daughters, that was considered disrespectful to disagree with your parents.
So in this situation, when I talk about expression, I'm talking about mental expression, verbal expression, and emotional expression. As well as the expression of these are my needs, these are my desires, these are my wants, my feelings count, my opinions count. Because many children who are raised in a critical family or a very conservative and strict family are often taught that they're not allowed to feel what they feel, they should deny their feelings, and that their opinions and feelings don't count.
Mm-hmm. Because if she's not comfortable expressing herself to her father, she's going to take that out on that same pattern. She'll bring it forward with all the other men in her life.
Now, that's a really good point, Dr. Nielsen. I want to talk about that just for a moment, to say that so many women, when they don't heal that, what happened in their relationship with their father as a child, they continue that. They take that with them into their adult relationships. Not only do they project it onto the other person, but then they carry around resentment. And if they have a resentment for their father, they will have a resentment for their boyfriend or for their husband or their partner. And that prevents them from ever having a beautiful, deep, meaningful, loving, and fulfilled relationship. And I have experienced this in the past with girls who, because they had a bad relationship with dad, they remained angry at men, then they would take it out on me.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some level, they're angry at the man, at the male figure.
Mm-hmm.
And saying,
and not only anger, but distrust. If you're ever in a relationship with a woman who did not have that kind of love from her father, she may be very needy and dependent and make you absolutely crazy with trying to give her all this affirmation and attention. She'll also be suspicious because she believes that you're going to abandon her or you're cheating on her. So she's excessively jealous to the point of you may feel like she's paranoid. She's so jealous. And all of this, again, is connected to the fact that if she feels her father abandoned her or wasn't there for her, then she assumes you're going to do the same thing.
So in your expert opinion, from your point of view, a clingy, needy woman is simply doing that out of insecurity, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Now, what about today's situation? Because as our society is so-called progressing, in many ways we are regressing in terms of the family unit, and now we have such a high percentage of blended families. That
mm-hmm.
has got to impact the relationship of father and daughter or stepfather and daughter.
Mm-hmm. The worst impact I see when the father remarries, the father-daughter relationship usually suffers when the father remarries. And that,
How does it suffer?
It suffers because the father and his new wife try to push the daughter into having a friendship with the new wife. That's a disaster for the father-daughter relationship because no daughter wants her father pushing a friendship on her, whether it's with his wife or anyone. And so that builds up this resentment towards the father. You know, the daughter is resentful towards her father. Stop pushing this woman at me. So that creates a problem. The second problem is that there is often a jealousy or competition on the part of the new wife. And what I...
Well, it happens between both, doesn't it? The new wife and the daughter will be jealous and competing for
yes.
dad's attention.
Exactly. And it's silly and needless and foolish. The father and daughter should concentrate on their relationship, and that means spend time alone, spend plenty of time together without his new wife around, and the new wife, what I say to stepmothers is, step back. Step back. Let your husband have his relationship with his daughter without you always having to be there trying to play a part of it. And that will win you many, many points as a stepmother.
And you have experienced this, correct?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I've been a stepmother for almost 20 years, and in fact, I don't like the term. I always ask my husband's daughter to call me her father's wife, not her stepmother.
Well, wait a minute. Does she come up to you and say, hi, Dad's wife?
No, she calls me Linda.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm Linda.
But having said that, are you telling me that you're okay with him saying, okay, goodbye, my daughter and I are going out on our own for a while?
Absolutely. I insist on it. I insist that they go on a one-week vacation every year by themselves. They've been doing this since she was 13. She's now 30.
And you've never felt threatened or insecure by it?
Not at all.
Because your relationship with him had to also be secure in the first place.
Yes. But my relationship with my husband is not contingent in his eyes or in my eyes on what kind of relationship I have with his daughter. There's a term in psychology. It's called boundaries. Boundaries. You're supposed to have boundaries, especially in a blended family.
Okay, and but hold on. Talking about boundaries, though, let's talk about the situation where you're the, I know you don't like the term, the stepmother, and mm-hmm. there's daughter or stepdaughter, and her room's in a mess, and it needs attention. Are you not going to say something to her if she's unruly?
Well, there are two things here. First, most stepmothers never live with their stepchildren. Fewer than 5% of all stepmothers ever live with their stepchildren for more than 4 days a month, because that's all that most divorced fathers get with their children. So it would be very, very unlikely that you'd run into a stepmother who really had to live with her stepchildren for more than 4 nights a month. But in the case, for example, of if my husband's daughter was 13, all right, yeah, she made a mess in her room. And in that case, her father, because he's the parent, would deal with that. I believe that step-parents should relate to those children as if you were an aunt or an uncle, okay? Treat that stepchild as if that's your niece or your nephew.
All right, let me ask you these questions, though. First, you said that he deals with it. So you've got to go and tell him sometimes, hey, your daughter is unruly, she needs to be dealt with.
Sure.
Okay.
Or in the same sense that if my niece came to visit me, I'm not going to let my niece trash my house. I'm going to say to her very politely, please pick up your shoes and your book bag, they're in the way. Or, no, you cannot eat in your room because it brings the mice and the mice bring the snakes. You know, but that's not acting like a parent. That's acting like an adult who has a child around me.
So your advice to step-parents is act like the aunt or the uncle.
Act like the aunt or the uncle. Step back and remember that your marriage is not contingent on you becoming these big buddy-buddy friends with your husband's daughter. If you will stop acting out that script, I will guarantee you your husband's daughter will appreciate it. She will treasure you. She will be glad that what you give her is a lifelong gift of her relationship with her father. And it'll also take a lot of pressure off your marriage.
Well, I think this is really powerful advice, because the greatest aspect of this advice is that it is tangible and it is measurable, in the sense that people, women, can go out and use that advice right now, as well as, of course, fathers. What is the best advice you can give to dads?
The best advice I can give to dads is you need to stop acting like the script that has been written for you by our goofy society that tells you that the mother-daughter relationship is more important and you're just the sidekick. Fathers, you are not a sidekick. You are central to your daughter's lives, and I want you to start acting central. call her up, take her to lunch, spend a whole day together. Call your daughter, email your daughter, start asking her more meaningful questions, start sharing more about your life with her. You don't have to ask questions about her life if you feel uncomfortable or she does. Share more about your life.
Because when you open up to someone, then someone else will feel safer and feel that they can trust you to open up to you. And I was on a show on Montel where I worked with a whole family that was a blended family. And it was amazing trying to help this man to rewrite his script because mm-hmm. he thought, in his mind, he was there for his daughters because he thought all he had to do was provide financially. And he thought, mm-hmm. if I just provide for them financially, and I put this roof and this house here and I'm giving them food on the table, I've done my part. And he said, well, the girls know that I'm there for them, but when I spoke with them, they had no idea that he's there for them because in their mind, he wasn't there for them. So I had to help almost reprogram him to understand that being there for your daughters doesn't mean just giving them money. It means literally sitting next to them, doing things with them, listening to them, showing more interest, giving them more attention, and asking more questions. And when I actually took out this blended family, we started doing things together as a family, that whole dynamic changed. For the first time, I think, in 3 years, they sat down, made a meal, and had a meal together
mm-hmm.
in three
mm-hmm.
years, because that was the pattern that had been created. So I guess I'm sort of building on your point of saying to dads, don't think that your only role is to provide, because if you are going to be the provider, provide them with something that money can't buy, with love, attention, approval, acceptance, praise, encouragement, support. You can give them approval even if you don't approve of everything they do, you can
mm-hmm.
still approve of the person.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say, you know, Linda, I don't approve of you living with this guy, but I still love you. You're still my daughter.
Exactly.
It's okay.
Exactly.
I'm still mad at you, but that's not
exactly.
going to change our relationship. I'm just telling you, based on what I believe, what are my standards, I don't agree with that. And here's why.
Exactly.
But you have to make your own decision because it's your life. And I'm here to support you in any way I can.
Right.
I'd like to, in closing, talk about your website so that people can go to your website, because I know you have not only a lot more information, but I believe you also have some surveys and articles that people can read.
I do, for stepmothers, for divorced dads, and for adult daughters and their dads. And the website, if you'll just type in my name, just Linda, which is Linda, Nielsen, which is Nielsen, it will pop you right into the Wake Forest University webpage.
And it's lindanielsen.edu, as in education.
Right.
It's not .com. And again, the book is Embracing Your Father, How to Build the Relationship You've Always Wanted with
and
your
the
dad.
New book, which is really for fathers as well as for daughters, the new book will be out in 2 or 3 months, and it's called Between Fathers and Daughters, and that'll all be posted on the website as well.
Well, Dr. Linda Nielsen, it's been a real pleasure. Again, I thank you. Dr. Nielsen is the Professor of Women's Studies and Education President of the American Coalition for Fathers and Children at Wake Forest University in North Carolina. I really thank you for sharing with us your expertise as a way to help people, because I've received, as I said at the outset of the call, so many emails and correspondence from women who were touched by the newsletter of the kind of impact that dads can have on their daughters. Because as we've pointed out on this call, and I think this is the best way to close the call, that if you have positive fathering, it will produce a well-adjusted, confident, and successful daughter who will then, as an adult, relate well to other men in her lives. It'll give her greater self-esteem, self-confidence, and so that she can be happy and also be open to love. So, again, thank you very much, and I look forward to speaking with you again soon.
We will, and thank you for all that you're doing, Patrick, on behalf of fathers and daughters.
My pleasure.
All right. Good talking to you.